Hello, everybody. It's George from Ireland. Well, there I am, finishing off eating something. You've never seen that in such a professional YouTube channel. So, in this video, I'm looking at the Russo-Ukrainian War's impact on Moscow's relationship with New Delhi. Now, India became independent in 1947, but long before that, Russia's major obviously successor state of the Soviet Union, and the Soviet Union had pushed for an Indian independence, welcomed Indian communists in the 1920s, and did the Congress Party, and furiously denounced the British Raj. Well, they got what they wanted. And so then the Soviet Union had a very cordial relationship with the Republic of India. Although India was never a communist country, it did and still does have a significant communist party. And the Communist Party of India, Marxist, won elections in Kerala and West Bengal way back in the 1950s. So the first Prime Minister of India, Jawaharlal Nehru, whilst he was not a communist, he wasn't an anti-communist either. And he was a linchpin of the non-aligned movement of countries that were supposedly neutral in the Cold War, even though Cuba, that was very much pro-Soviet, was in that as well. And so it's continued. And in the early years of Indian independence, India gradually weaned itself off armaments purchases from the United Kingdom and began to buy Soviet weaponry. They preferred to give the money to the Soviets, and they had sympathies in the communist direction, despite not actually being Reds. Moreover, Soviet military manufacturers were a lot cheaper than British ones. So they were retrained on Soviet models, and they leaned towards them. Obviously, the Soviets were very helpful to them in the Second Indo-Pakistan War, 1965, and then the 1971 Third Indo-Pakistan War, and so on. The Soviet Union collapsed in 1991. There was very little that the Russian Federation could offer when it was economically in the doldrums. And India began to reassess its relationship towards the United States. It had a fairly tetchy relationship with the US, though it was all right under John F. Kennedy when the Indians needed arms from them to fight the Chinese. But I remember I was in India when Vajpayee, I forgot his full name actually, went to the United States. It was a very well-received address of both houses of Congress. This had happened obviously Nehru had been there, Rajiv Gandhi had been there, and so on, to address Congress. But India has been buying less and less Russian military weaponry over the last few years. It's fallen significantly. But India is still the largest single purchaser of Russian armaments. And only, I think it's the 24th of March, the Indian Air Force made an official statement in the Parliament of India to some Defence Select Committee. And they said the purchase of certain equipment has not been delivered. It's well overdue. But the Indian Air Force notably will not say what exactly this is meant to be delivery of, what equipment. Is it planes, helicopters, missiles, air defence systems? I just don't know. Is an $844 million contract, about $740 million worth of it has already been delivered. There's over $100 million worth of kit outstanding. So for reasons of security, they're keeping it taciturn, what the actual item or item is supposed to be. So Russia's inability to provide weapons on schedule is probably because Russia suffered significant equipment losses in Ukraine, and Russian military manufacturing has to prioritize supplying the Russian armed forces. It'll do that before it produces anything for export. And as I pointed out previously, after hydrocarbons, arms were Russia's biggest foreign exchange earner. India has leaned towards Russia in this conflict, been one of about 40 countries which abstained in the United Nations on the Ukraine war, has no sanctions on Russia whatsoever, trades with them completely as normal. Likewise, there's no sanctions on Ukraine, so they say they're neutral. There were hundreds of Indian students and other Indians resident in Ukraine when the war broke out. One of them evacuated, one of them was killed, actually, and that's it. Narendra Modi has met Putin, has said that the war ought to be ended by negotiation, even used the word war, didn't use the Russian lie, the term special military operation. Of course, the G20 took place recently, as in the group of 20, the 20 largest economies plus the European Union, hosted by India. It's India's turn. They rotate between all 20 members. And Sergei Lavrov, the Russian foreign minister, was there and was allowed to address the forum. And he made the outrageously stupid claim, since Ukraine started the war against us, that the Ukrainians started the war. Wow. I mean, that takes a Pinocchio award. That really takes the biscuit. What chutzpah to blame the victim again. Anyway, and that provoked gales of contemptuous laughter from his audience. But he said it with a straight face. You've got to hand it to him for being an absolutely gold star liar. Anyway, India has been purchasing large quantities of Russian armaments for decades, and 20% of all Russian arms sales since 2018 have gone to India. So Prime Minister Narendra Modi, a few years ago, he signed a defense deal with Russia to purchase lots of weaponry. It was going to include warships, surface-to-air missiles, assault rifles, and so on, and the S-400 Triumph air defense system. Lots of that, five S-400s, only three of which have so far been delivered. The two more are outstanding. I don't know if this is the thing that the IAF is talking about. But there might be another motive for not delivering these things on time. The ulterior explanation might be a desire to avoid irking China. Because remember, India and China are often daggers drawn. In 2020, they fought a brief border conflict. So the relationship with China for Russia has gone from important to vital. And so the vitality of it can't be overstated. If the Chinese stopped buying their hydrocarbons, the war would be over. The Chinese could easily grab land north of the Amur River. Russia has left that completely indefensible. There are thousands of kilometers of border with the Chinese. Chinese, rather than trying to take Taiwan, which they can't take, which it would have almost no economic value, why do they not take a bit of Russia? And nobody's going to come to Russia's aid and just get the oil and gas for free. Remember, China's ally is Pakistan, which, of course, is a mortal enemy of India. So there might be another reason. Let's go slow on these deliveries, maybe just not deliver them at all, especially the money's already been paid, in order to keep China sweet. And the Pakistanis might be entreating the Chinese, would you please make sure your Russian friends don't provide any military equipment to India? So I don't know if that's what's happening. This is sheer conjecture here. So growing closeness between Cathay and Russia has obviously perturbed India. Nevertheless, India is happy to buy Russian energy at knockdown prices. In that wise, the Russo-Ukrainian war is actually beneficial to India because of their supposedly balanced attitude, as Putin calls it, Russia's rewarding them by selling them cheap energy. But India might have to reassess its attitude. They have said there ought to be a ceasefire in Ukraine. The war should come to an end through dialogue. But if Russia is unable to supply kit on time, then India might wonder whether its neutral stance on the Ukraine war is worth its while. Would it be more advantageous to call out the Russian Federation for its illegal war of unprovoked aggression and so on, to have sanctions or maybe just diplomatic support, just vocal support of Ukraine, and draw closer to the United States, the European Union, other NATO countries, and get superior military equipment? Trouble is, it's more expensive. So India's been reducing its volume of arms purchases from Russia for years. It was about 64% of all Indian arms purchases were from Russia in 2013, down to about 45% last year, and going to carry on going down. But I think that declension will be accelerated by this. So do I think that India's going to draw away from Russia? I do, actually, but in the medium term, might be several years before something significant happens like that. So far, India's been able to maximize its advantage, exploit this position with regard to the Ukraine war, but there might be fewer and fewer dividends paid from them sitting on the fence in this way. Right, thank you for watching my video. Goodbye.